This morning, we continue with our current sermon series, which are the I Am sayings of Jesus. Last week, Caroline covered I Am the Resurrection and the Life, and this week it is I Am the Way, the Truth and the Life, which we find in John 14. But as Caroline has already covered the life more extensively, I'm going to focus more on the way and the truth this morning. Knowing the way is one of the challenges motorists particularly face when we're making long journeys away from home. Thankfully, compared to years ago when I started driving, and the best we had was a great big floppy A to Z Atlas that used to kind of kick around the boot of the car, the floor of the car, we have these modern satellite navigation systems, sat-navs. And they started off as separate items like this one, a TomTom, and gradually they found their way onto our car dashboards and onto our phones. So using any one or several of those, we now have a much better opportunity to find and to plan the way ahead. If you key in a destination, you'll find there's normally a choice of routes. And it takes into account where their current congestion is, and maybe your preferences. Perhaps you're one of these people who likes to go perhaps on faster motorways, even if it means doing more distance. Some people prefer shorter distances, even if it means going a little bit cross-country. And the other thing that kind of features are tolls. Some bridges and roads have tolls these days, and quite a lot don't. The most frequent place I go on long-distance drives, because the reasons are for both family and for business, is actually to Hull. In fact, you could say that the number of times I've been to Hull and back. Oh. If you live there, you get used to that joke. But planning the way for a car journey to Hull on a satellite navigation brings up a variety of routes, probably more than you'll find going to most other places. It reflects all the factors that I've just mentioned. In essence, there are two main obstacles in your way between Horsham and Hull. The first one is Greater London, and the second is the River Humber. So first of all, you have to decide which side of the M25 you're going to take. Are you going to go west with the Heathrow section and then follow the M1? Or are you going to go to the east and cross at Dartford and pay its toll and then take the M11 and the A1? What you tend to find is that both are very often badly congested. And then, if you take the A1 route, you have another choice, whether or not to take the Humber Bridge. The Humber Bridge cuts about 20 miles off the distance, but you have to drive on Lincolnshire's notoriously dangerous A roads. Sometimes you get stuck behind farm tractors, and when you get to the bridge, there's another toll to pay. So you have a lot of choice in choosing the best way to take. Now, when you're staying in the Hull area, one popular place to go for a day out is to visit the mouth of the Humber, and that place that's shown in that image. Geography test, general knowledge. Does anybody know what that's called?
Spurn Head,
very good, or Spurn Point, yes, absolutely. And if you're planning the way to Spurn Point from Hull, you really don't need a sat-nav, at least not from a planning point of view, because there's actually only one way you can possibly go, and it's never congested. And as you get nearer, the land gets slimmer between the North Sea on one side and the Humber Estuary on the other. And for the last 3 miles, the road follows the sand spit. It's only about 50 metres wide in places, and you can follow it all the way to the end. The difference between planning a route to Hull and then a route from Hull to Spurn Point is that actually for the former, there are many ways, but for the latter, there is only one way. In our reading, the disciple Thomas is planning his journey, a journey for life, even eternal life. He wants to follow Jesus, but he's wrestling with what Jesus has just said to him. So he asks, Lord, We don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Now, to put this into context, we need to rewind a little bit. That conversation was going on in the evening after the Last Supper. So in John's account, Jesus had already washed the disciples' feet. And after one or two other things and a lot of explanations, he was now taking the opportunity to explain to his trusted disciples all that was about to happen. And he had told them some difficult truths. Specifically, that one of them would betray him and that Peter would deny him. But the most bewildering and non-specific thing for Thomas and the others was Jesus saying this: "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I have told the Jews, so I now tell you, where I am going, you cannot come." And then further on, this is in 1336, Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." So having let this soak in, and knowing this will have upset them, Jesus addressed what he knew was on their hearts with these words: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place that I am going." Now that's quite an amazing promise. It was for the comfort of the disciples then, but it still provides all believers ever since, and to us in the present day, with the same comfort. It speaks with certainty, not just about his resurrection, but also about his second coming, and the promise of eternity in his presence. "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Let's just reflect on that. There's a room in God's house which has your name on the door. Imagine arriving at reception or check-in like we do in hotels, and you always have an anxious thought in your head. Do you have my reservation in your system? Because the last thing you want to hear at this point is, "Computer says no." But Christian believers know that they will hear the words, "Welcome, we have your booking. Jesus has personally prepared your room for you. Come on in." And my question this morning, just for self-reflection, is, are you confident enough in your faith to know that you will be included? And if you're not, we'd love to help you move further forward in your faith, wherever you are in that journey. You can speak to me or Simon after the service, and it's worth saying that there is still time to join the Alpha course that's about to start. That really is designed to help people move further forward in their faith from wherever they happen to be, from complete outsiders to people who have got an established faith. Jesus finished his promise with what must have been a puzzling statement: "You know the way to the place where I am going." I suspect the disciples were all puzzling over what Jesus meant. So Thomas probably spoke for all of them when he asked, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" In other words, we don't know the destination, so how in the world are we to know the route? It was a bit like having a sat-nav or Google Maps on your phone and not actually knowing what to put in when you enter the destination. Jesus replied with these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." His answer is clear and also exclusive, and that can be challenging. No one will come to the Father any other way except through him. He is the only route to the Father. Jesus didn't say he would show them a way. He said that he himself is the way. Later on in the passage, when you get to verse 11, Jesus says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." And that actually reinforces what Jesus had told his disciples earlier, back in John 10:30, when he said, "I and the Father are one." That means, in his answer to Thomas, Jesus effectively is declaring that he's both the destination and also the route to get there. Later on, the very same evening, in the Garden of Gethsemane, according to the account in Matthew's Gospel, it says that Jesus fell to the ground, full of sorrow, and prayed to his Father three times. "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." What was Jesus asking? Well, he was asking his Father if there was any other way to save, redeem, and bring people to the Father. And if there was, Jesus begged to be spared the agony of the crucifixion. But we can imagine the response that Jesus received from the Father in prayer. It would have been clear. "No, Jesus, you are the way, the only way." So Jesus willingly went to the cross to open the way for us. Only he could do that as the Son at one with the Father. Let's consider now the next part of Jesus' statement. "I am the truth." It is increasingly popular in our modern culture to believe that truth is relative. You might have your truth about an experience or a situation, and I might have my truth. Former US President Donald Trump has his own truths, which he shares on his social media platform called Truth Social, which he's recently floated on the stock market to try and raise enough bail money to pay the damages awarded against him in court actions. So perhaps not everything he says is the truth, or at least in the eyes of the courts. The problem is that two truths that contradict one another cannot both be true. There can only be that which is true and that which is not. Jesus did not claim to be a truth or to give us his truth. He claimed to be the truth, the ultimate, eternal, and supreme truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. And the truth of his claim means that we are to believe him, trust him, and yield every one of our truths to his absolute truth, should they be rubbing up against one another. Going back to my illustration about route planning, if we're following in Jesus' way, then by analogy, there are several ways to Hull from here. Different people will have different opinions about the best way to go. Heathrow or Dartford, M1 or A1, Humber Bridge or not. And actually, that might change from one time to the next, according to the traffic conditions. There is no unique definitive route to get there. But not so with the journey to Spurn Point. there is only one way which needs to be followed. There's no point in arguing about it. You either faithfully follow the road that leads there around all the bends, and if you deviate from this way, you will either end up in the North Sea or the mudflats of the Humber Estuary. That's like the Christian journey through life, following the way. You need to stick to it and not fall off at either side. And just as Jesus is not only the route, but also the destination, when you reach the end of Spurn Point, what do you find? The answer is a lighthouse. Lighthouse. It's the name we give to our youth and children's groups at St Mark's. And it takes its root from another of the I Am statements of Jesus. I am the light of the world. And of course, one of our favourite songs here is My Lighthouse by the Wren Collective. And interestingly, one of the lines in that song says, in the silence you won't let go, in the questions your truth will hold. The final part of this week's I Am statement is, I am the life. If we accept that Jesus is the way, and we yield to him as the truth, then we find life itself, both here on earth and in eternity. In Acts 3, Peter declares to the crowd that Jesus is the author of life. He came to give his life for us, and thereby giving us life. Because Jesus willingly went into a tomb, he paved the way, the only way, to the other side of the tomb for all who believe in him. So, final question. Where do you hope your eternal destination will be? Jesus promises us a room in his Father's house for all eternity with him, and also with all the faithful ones who have gone before us. If that's what you want, then there is a way, but only one way, and his name is Jesus. Believe in him and live. Amen.